All right, ladies, let's be real. Who here actually enjoys shaving their legs? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I thought so. And get this, Nair, yes, Nair, the OG that I used for years, has now leveled up. And they have these new sensational shower creams and body creams that smell amazing. My personal favorite, coconut oil and vitamin E because it's gentle on my skin. And down to that body cream scent, baby, rich cocoa butter and vitamin E. A modern take on indulgent and classic femininity. Smell for yourself. Try the reformulated Nair body and shower creams available at retailers nationwide and online.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in LA, and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Your relationship doesn't have to make sense to anybody else in the world except you and your partner.
Deadass. I agree with that. And I used to kind of wonder why people had to hide their significant other from social media. But as it continues to grow, I get it.
Deadass?
Deadass. Hey, I'm Kadeen.
And I'm DeVal.
And we're the Ellises.
You may know us from posting funny videos with our boys.
And reading each other publicly as a form of therapy.
Wait, I make you need therapy?
Most days.
Wow.
Oh, and one more important thing to mention, we're married.
Yes, sir, we are. We created this podcast to open dialogue about some of life's most taboo topics.
Things most folks don't want to talk about.
Through the lens of a millennial married couple. Deadass is a term that we say every day. So when we say deadass, we're actually saying facts. 100. The truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. We about to take pillow talk to a whole new level.
Deadass starts right now.
I'm going to take this story back to when we were 19 years old.
Oh, the good old days.
Okay.
Yes. All right.
This is a time when Kadeen had just moved into Hofstra. You and I were
canoodling.
All into each other, like all into each other every single day, doing this, doing that. I remember telling my father when I was about 19, and I was like, I want to get married to this girl. And he laughed.
I didn't know you had a moment like that.
Yeah, I was 19. This was summertime. You had the allergic reaction. To the medication,
yeah.
The sulfur, and I didn't know what was gonna happen. I remember that feeling, like, yo, like, I don't know what life would be like if something happened to this girl. And I remember saying to my pops, like, I think I want to marry her. And he laughed. He was like, you're only 19. You have no idea. Then my mom was like, you know, don't you think you and DeVal are, I mean, you and Kadeen are, you know, moving too fast? Like, you're playing house, like. This isn't good for you guys. You guys need to take some space. And I remember Andrew English saying to me.
Yeah, your old roommate.
oh, you guys love each other now. Okay, we'll see in a couple of months. I pretty much remember everybody that I spoke to saying that you and I were never, ever, ever going to work. And now look at us.
Now look at us.
And the funny thing is, they couldn't fathom this making sense because we were so young and just doing everything that people told us we shouldn't be doing at that age.
Right.
And look at where we are now.
Yep. Just me and you.
Just the two of us.
Hey.
We can make it if we try. Just the two of us. You and I.
Just the two of us. Hey.
Just the two of us, baby.
That's it.
That's the two of us.
Riding off into the sunset.
Oh, because we it's been sunny.
It's
been some dark, gloomy days, too.
There's been some thunderstorms, some monsoons,
some
tsunamis.
Some tornadoes.
All the things.
Hurricanes, earthquakes, fires. It's been a lot.
It's been a lot.
It's been a lot.
In almost 20 years.
But it's been just the two of us.
All right. Well, let's take a break And then we can come back into unpacking story time and talking more about keeping social media opinions out of your relationship.
Oh, no. Not just social media.
Everybody.
Keeping opinions in general out of your relationship.
Yes.
Hey, what's good, y'all? I think it's important for you to understand why Black representation in media is important. It's important because the media represents how people view us. And it's important that they understand that Black people are not a monolithic people.
That is a fact. And the next generation of influential Black voices can be found on NPR's new collection, Black Stories, Black Truths.
Black Stories, Black Truths is a celebration of Blackness from NPR. Each of NPR's Black voices are as distinct, varied, and nuanced as the Black experience itself. Every episode is a living account about what it means to be Black today, told from a unique Black perspective. From Bobby Shmurda to The Wire, Michelle Obama to reparations, there's no limit to the range of Black stories, Black truths.
Black perspectives haven't always been centered in the telling of America's story. Now they are the story.
In NPR's Black Stories, Black Truths, you'll find a collection of some of NPR's best podcast episodes celebrating the Black experience.
Listen now to Black Stories, Black Truths from NPR, wherever you get your podcasts. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Y'all, let me tell you, after the Love Against the World tour, my social battery is depleted, drained, no energy. How do you feel, babe?
I don't know. You know, it can be easy for people to ignore their social battery and spread themselves thin, especially with social gatherings picking up one after another in the wintertime.
That's a fact. What's the right amount of socializing for you? And how do you recharge after that? Maybe you thrive around people. Or maybe you need some more alone time like me.
You know what? Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery.
So if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge.
Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/deadass today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/deadass.
There's power in every purchase because every time we buy a Black-led brand, we make room for another Black-led brand. And y'all know I love my lip bar products. That's just one, to name a few.
There is a whole collection of Black-led products that fit into your daily routine. Show Black founders some love, not just during Black History Month, but all year long.
That's right, y'all. Black founders and the products they bring to the table are creating a whole new world of choices at Walmart.
That's right. Go to walmart.com/blackandunlimited to discover all the amazing Black-owned products you can add to your daily routine.
All right, ladies, let's be real. Who here actually enjoys shaving their legs? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I thought so. And get this. Near, yes, Near, the OG that I used for years, has now leveled up. And they have these new sensational shower creams and body creams that smell amazing. My personal favorite, coconut oil and vitamin E because it's gentle on my skin. And down to the body cream, rich cocoa butter and vitamin E body cream, which is a modern take on indulgent and classic femininity. Okay? It works in as little as 3 minutes, no nicks, no cuts, and the smooth skin lasts days longer than shaving. Nair's new sensational shower and body creams are free of all those nasty chemicals, so you can feel good about what you're putting on your skin. Have a me time moment with Nair, the number one hair removal brand. Smell for yourself. Try the reformulated Nair body and shower creams available at retailers nationwide and online.
Okay, guys, so we're back.
We are all back.
Right? And today, I can't wait to talk about this because I'm actually pretty proud of us.
Yeah.
Yes, I'm proud of us because along this 20-year journey, there's been a lot of people who told us that it wasn't going to work doing it the way we doing it. Yeah. Like a lot of people.
Right.
We got friends, family, social media, like a lot of people.
A lot of y'all was out there. Betting against us.
Betting against us, saying it was never going to work.
Right. And it's okay, because we understand what it is. You know what I mean?
No, like, it's not
okay.
You
haven't seen certain things.
No.
No?
It's not okay. Okay.
All right, my husband says it's not okay.
No,
y'all, so
it's not okay.
Not okay.
But go ahead, finish what you were saying. But it's
no,
not
I was
okay.
going to say it's okay, because people cannot, foresee things when it's the road less traveled, right? Because mm-hmm. we're all inclined to do what everyone else is doing right. most of the time, or we're always seeking approval from the masses or from the family and the friends. So in that effort to seek approval, people usually will decide not to do the things that they want to do, or will, you know, hide their feelings or, mm-hmm. or dampen their feelings because they feel like, you know what? I don't want to have to deal with the scrutiny or the potential ridicule right. or the potential failure, because then you have the people that will hit you with the, well, I told y'all this wasn't going to work, you know?
Right.
So unless you're strong enough to deal with that or just don't want to deal with that, I can see how some people will succumb to that.
My issue with that is you exist in a relationship with the other person, mm-hmm. right? When you're trying to figure out how this relationship is going to work with you, all the other people who are outside of the relationship have no dog in the fight.
Right.
So to me, whatever advice they give you, you should take it with a grain of salt. Mm-hmm. Because that person cannot teach you how to figure out your partner if mm-hmm. they don't exist within your relationship. Mm-hmm. What I think happens to a lot of people is, take social media, for example, right? They'll post things on social media about their relationship. And when other people say things about their relationship, then they start to second guess what they're doing in their relationship. Mm-hmm. For example, I'm going to use an extreme example because I want it to be extreme for a reason, right? Okay. What if you and I were swingers, right? Mm-hmm. And we enjoyed swinging. Mm-hmm. So then we say on social media, Kaneen and I enjoy swinging. So now we put out there we're swinging. Of course, the vast majority of people are like, oh my God, what's the point of being married if you're going to include other people in your bedroom? What if right. it's da-da-da-da-da, right? So then once they say that, typically people are like, dang, they're right. Maybe I shouldn't be swinging. Mm-hmm. So then they stop swinging because they want to appease the people
right.
who are following them on social media mm-hmm. or their family
right.
or their friends, because sometimes it's not social media. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's, you know, your family finds out that you're swinging and then it's,
yeah,
you shouldn't be doing that, blah, blah, right. blah, blah.
You're
or your friends find out.
Raised that way, blah, blah, blah.
And for the record, we're not swingers.
Yeah,
I'm using this extreme example because
don't start propositioning us. Don't put me in your close friends when y'all be in your close friends fucking and doing all sorts of crazy shit.
Because people do that.
Yeah.
And the funny thing is, we've recently saw a couple mm-hmm. through someone else's closest friends mm-hmm. who openly have sex on their close friends. Mm-hmm. And my first response was, if they're happy doing that and it right. works for them,
absolutely,
then that's fine.
There was not one thing in my mind that was just like, ugh, what are they doing? Why would they do that? No,
right.
It was just like, oh, well.
If they're enjoying it and they, mm-hmm. you know, they like it, then that's up to them.
Right.
But what happens typically is, say, for example, like I said, the extreme example that we said we're swinging, all these people start to say that we shouldn't do it. Mm-hmm. Then we try to practice what those people say should work best for us. So now, in order to appease them, we start catering and curating our relationship to their wants mm-hmm. as opposed to our wants. And now we're unhappy in our relationship, but we're putting on a facade to everyone else that we are
right.
in order to make them feel happy about our relationship.
Right.
That makes no sense, but a lot of people do that. And one thing I'll say I'm proud of us, I don't think that we've ever done that.
We've never done that with our relationship. We don't do that even with our content that we put out there on social media. It's a very parallel situation.
That's true. That's
you
true.
Know, we've been asked a ton of times, like, you know, your content, where does it come from? What do you guys decide what you're going to put out there or not? Do you listen to the comments and then change your content if people don't agree with this or people are not watching that?
Mm-hmm.
And the response is always no.
No.
Because what happens is we're going to put content out and the people that it's meant for and the people who are going yes. to receive it will receive it. And if you don't, it just was not meant for you.
No. And then the truth Simple. Of the matter is that's how it is with relationships.
Yeah.
Right? People have to learn to live within their relationship and stop seeking approval from people outside of their relationships that don't matter. Mm-hmm. Whether it's social media, family, and friends. So, Tribble. Went and printed up some facts and stats. You know I love you. Your Tribble is terrible.
I know.
You need to, man.
I'm just going
to
retire it, guys.
Just stop. Let mm-hmm. me do the Tribble.
Retire All right? It.
Okay. Three powerful ways influences impact your relationships. They will mm-hmm. either speak truth or breathe lies to you, shaping your mood, opinions towards your husband and your marital foundation, mm-hmm. husband or wife. Influencers will plant seeds of desires in your heart, mind that will determine your actions,
mm.
will either encourage or discourage you in your dreams for your marriage.
Gotcha. Right? So influencers, meaning people who are putting content out there, like
for no. This is not just about social media.
Not just about social media.
It's just influencers.
Okay.
So what happens is we'll get into
any influencers.
For example, the hidden negative influences, sugar-coated goodness, right? You know that best friend you love that always has your back. I'm going to be honest if her having your back is more of her agreeing to everything you say. She is not the influence, he or she is not the influence you need. Keep her as a best friend, sure. Talk to her about challenges within your marriage, no. By her constantly agreeing with you, she is confirming lies you might be telling yourself, and it's obviously biased.
Yes.
So this is what happens, right? For this example, you and I both have friends.
Mm-hmm.
Some of us have those friends who are like, yes, friends.
Yes, friends, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So when I'm upset at you,
right,
if I decide to go to my friends that I know are going to yes me, and I just tell them this is what happened, this is what Kadeem did, right? Regardless of whether I'm wrong or not, they're willing to just be like, yeah, bro, you need to do this. Or, yeah,
do
bro.
Do you have any friends like that, honestly, though? Because I feel like within our circle group, both you and I, in the palm of my hand, can fit my closest friends. And I'll honestly say that, at least for us, we don't have that. But everyone does have a friend that may.
Yes.
You know, most people would have a friend. A yes friend, yeah.
Yes. But, and here's the thing with my friends. One of the people I confide in the most, my boy Dolo. Then I got my brother, Brian. These are two guys that I confide in with my marriage because they'll give me an unbiased, objective opinion, not only about myself, but about the entire situation. And they'll both code it only by saying, well, you know what goes on between you and Kadeem, but from what you're telling me. So even by them saying that is letting me know that they're putting a disclaimer like, listen, bro, you're the only one that knows. But based on what you told me, this is what I feel and this is what I see. And they'll hold me accountable. Accountability is important. But when you have that yes friend who doesn't ever want to hold you accountable because they feel more pleased by just having you like them.
Right.
That's a terrible person to seek advice about your marriage.
That yes friend can tend to also be transformed into what I like to call that Duracell friend. The Energizer friend, the one that puts the battery in your back.
Oh, yes, you know? Yes.
Y'all know about that friend that's just like, yes, like amping up the situation. And sometimes, you know, it could be a situation where you have a friend that could be jealous of your lifestyle.
Absolutely.
Jealous of your relationship. Maybe it's that single friend that has no, like you said, dog in the fight, or has no idea what it's like to even be involved in a relationship.
Yeah.
They may feel like they know you as a person, but then they have a responsibility, I feel like, to be honest with you and say, girl or bro, you know how you are. Is it possible that it may have been seen this way? So you kind of want to make sure that when you are divulging these potential issues that you have within your relationship to someone, it's someone who can see both sides, or at least acknowledge that there's both sides and not just yes you to death. Some people are okay with someone yesing them to death because they feel like, all right, well,
I am
right. That's what they want.
That's what they want.
And usually, I think for the most part, when people seek advice, I would say people seek advice for affirmation that they may be right.
Yes.
In their stance and not necessarily clarity or an opinion. What do you think?
Yeah, I agree with you. I feel like the vast majority of people, especially because of social media, and we're going to do a whole podcast on social media, but people want likes. People want approval, right? Especially people who may have some insecurities or may feel like the world is against them. They want that person that's just going to agree with them so they can feel strongly about their opinion. As opposed to finding someone who's going to objectively tell them, based on what you told me, this is how I feel. And also say, I can't give you the answers, right? You have to constantly look for the answers within your relationship from your partner. But you can also seek counsel to gain a greater perspective.
Exactly.
Right? And that's what I don't want people to misconstrue, right? Seeking counsel to gain a greater perspective is not the same thing as seeking affirmation so that you can feel better about how you feel, you know what I'm saying, about what's going on in your relationship. And the difference is seeking counsel to create a greater perspective can also teach you to see from your partner's perspective. They don't give you the answer of how to deal with the situation, but they may say,
it's adding a layer.
Maybe your partner is feeling like this. And once again, that person is teaching you how to, once again, look towards your partner for the answer, as opposed to saying, yeah, bro, you right. You should do this.
Right.
Because you get a lot of that. Yeah, I wouldn't let my wife do that. Perfect example. We talked about finances on this podcast a lot. There was a point where we were struggling with our finances because we were learning how to work together as a team mm-hmm. and build a foundation financially because we had different mindsets on finances. Mm-hmm. Your parents didn't talk well with you about finances. My father talked a lot to me about mm-hmm. finance, so I felt like I was a little bit more prepared. So when it came time to work with you on it, I was just like, how do I get Kadeen to experience what I experienced? I had some friends just be like, nah, this is why she need to pay half the rent. She need to pay half the mortgage. She need to do this. And I was just like, that, but that's not what I want to do. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
That wouldn't be fulfilling.
That wouldn't be fulfilling to me, number one, but that's not how our relationship works. And they was like, well, in my house, we do this. And then for me, I could have been like, well, let me try to do what they do in their house.
Right.
But that might not have been the answer. So I chose not to do it. And mm-hmm. we figured out our way through constantly talking about it. But I did listen to their perspective. Mm-hmm. But I didn't just say, I'm going to curate my relationship to look like yours.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
No, absolutely. It makes total sense.
A lot of people need to learn that. And speaking of curating relationships to look like others, mm-hmm. the innocent comparison game.
All right. Can I talk about this one? Because I was looking at this one. I was like, we all know these people here. Social media couples. You know the ones who be living it up on vacation, 300 days out of the year couples? Them. Stop it. Unfollow them. What good are they bringing you if you have to feel like your marriage is somehow missing out because it doesn't look like theirs? It's a negative influence, and you need to cut that follow cold turkey. Now, it can be two things, I think, with this.
Mm-hmm.
You follow those couples that are on vacation and doing their thing and whatnot because it's an aspirational lifestyle that's very involved in social media, right?
Uh-huh.
So you follow people that make you feel good, or you follow mm-hmm. people that, you know, you might say to yourself, you know what, I can envision myself doing this mm-hmm. one day or doing that one day based off of what you see. So I don't know if it's necessarily a hard unfollow for me, but if it's a thing where you feel like, man, these people are on vacation 300 days out the year and I'm just, you know, counting down till I get my little 2 weeks vacation so I can go away, don't be fooled. A lot of times there's recycled content because they're going to shoot thousands worth of content on their 1 week mm-hmm. vacation and then stretch that joint out for about 3 months. Smokes and mirrors, y'all. Smokes and mirrors. Protect your mental health if that's the case. If you need to unfollow, do that. But I think you need to kind of take that with a grain of salt and just understand that what you see on social media is not necessarily always the reality.
But the truth of the matter is that you can't blame those couples for posting that way.
No, can't. You can't.
You have to say to yourself, like you just said, if looking at this content makes me feel good and makes me inspired to get up and work harder so I can reach that point in my life, it's mm-hmm. good. If it makes you look at your spouse and be like, we don't fucking go nowhere, then that's a horrible follow because now what you're doing is comparing your life
right.
to other people's life and you don't know how real that life is.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, we're going to talk in full about social media mm-hmm. on another episode. But what I think is important that you brought up is how it makes you feel,
mm-hmm.
right? If you're following people and it's constantly making you become more self-loathing, mm-hmm. more depressed, mm-hmm. more jealous, mm-hmm. and give you more anxiety and look at your partner like, you know, I wish you would do things like this person.
Right.
That's a bad way to be in a relationship with someone.
And that
someone.
Might just even be a person-to-person thing. And I say that because even the story about us, I think we might have told it before, where we used to go down and visit our friends who were a married couple at the time that lived in Virginia,
mm-hmm.
had a huge home out there. We would drive down and go for weekends and have a ball out there. And for us, we saw that as like motivation. Like we'd
Absolutely.
Go down there.
Absolutely.
It was almost like being on a resort for a weekend. And then we would just take that drive back to New York.
Right.
Feeling so inspired and feeling like, man, one day we want to be able to live comfortably like this, where our children will mm-hmm. have space and we'll have space and we can have space to entertain our friends and family and have them over. And for us, we didn't take that as, damn, now I'm going back to this
right.
sucky ass apartment in Brooklyn and now I'm right. mad at DeVal because he bring me back to the, you know, Crown Heights, you know, on New York Avenue. I'm like, yeah. damn, you know, instead of that being the approach for us, that was something we continued to do because we yeah. felt inspired by that.
Yeah.
So it could be a person-to-person thing and how you tend to dissect
it's
the
always,
situation.
Listen, it's always a person-to-person thing. That's why you can't blame the influences,
mm-hmm.
whether it be family or friends or social media. You have to look within,
mm-hmm.
right? First, as a person, you have to look within and saying, what influences are making me negatively feel negatively about my spouse?
Right.
But then you have to look inwardly at the relationship and saying, what can we do
mm-hmm.
to create a better life for ourselves, as opposed to looking outward
mm-hmm.
and saying, how can our lives mimic this?
Right.
Because even mimicking someone else may not make you happy. You could spend all of your time saying, I'm going to curate my life to be exactly like this person. For example, what if you're not into swinging, mm-hmm. right? You and I, we're not into swinging, right? Mm-hmm. Say we're having a rut sexually, which happens in marriages. And it's like, dang, how can I get out this rut, right? Mm-hmm. As opposed to saying, let me speak to my wife and figure out what my wife wants and needs and figure it out. A lot of people say, well, that couple looks like they're having fun. Mm-hmm. What are they doing? Mm-hmm. So then you ask them, what are y'all doing? And they say, oh, we're swinging. Now you're trying to swing with your wife, right?
And it's a whole ass fight.
And you go to a party and it's a swinger party. And now your wife is over there sucking somebody else's dick. And now you're mad. Now you mad because you tried to act like the swingers. Your wife is enjoying herself.
Next thing you on Jerry Springer.
You know what I'm saying? And all because you tried to curate your life.
From swinger to springer, y'all.
From swinger to springer. That's from swinger to springer. You tried to curate your life for somebody else.
Jerry.
Look, we see what you used to watch as a kid.
Yes, I did.
Wasn't you supposed to be in school?
I was in school, but when I went to meet my grandmother after, we used to sit, we had some tea and some hard-o bread and watch all the stories and all the shows. Sorry. Shout out to my grandmother. May she rest in peace.
Yeah, shout out to Grandma Joseph. But you understand.
No, I completely
get
it.
When you try to curate your life like someone else's, thinking that because their happiness looks so great that you could have their happiness, and you try it and you feel pissed. That's when it's like, you see, all you had to do is speak to your partner.
That's it.
Speak to your partner.
Have the conversation. And then also, too, to piggyback on that whole thing, we talk about unfollowing, but then you also kind of know what boundaries are needed for you to kind of clear your mind or clear your space of certain things. Because if you're not a person that is able to follow these things that you tend to see or as aspirational, or you tend to see as feel goods, mm-hmm. if they in turn are making you not feel good, then you should be able to know, you know what, I need to unfollow, I need to block, I need to create this boundary with this family member or this friend mm-hmm. who is not just putting healthy thoughts in my mind.
Absolutely.
So boundaries are very, very
important.
Speaking
of when you said friend and family, the desensitizer, which is next. This is more important than social media.
The desensitizer,
because our generation has been caught with this one more than social media, because social media is fairly new.
Fairly new,
right?
Yeah, for us at least. Yeah.
What you hear and see, Hollywood has such a great way of glamorizing everything,
talk about it.
Including thinking patterns, ideas, and behaviors that are dangerous for marriages. Be aware of the shows you are watching over and over. Do not let their ideas and desires eventually become yours, especially how you treat your husband or wife. Again, there is a lot more science behind what you're allowing your brain to receive than what you realize.
Wow, that's huge.
For example, and I'm going to become from a male standpoint, right?
Okay.
Hollywood has made us fall in love or glamorized with the knight in shining armor, right? You have to be this way in order to be considered a knight in shining armor, right? You have to be tall, dark, handsome, make money, perfect teeth, ads, and you have to find a woman who is a damsel in distress that you can save, right? Hollywood tells us these stories all the time.
Giving Idris,
you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
Disney has shown us, and while they haven't done Disney movies.
No, but you know.
They have been part of movies, romantic comedies,
yes.
where they've saved the woman, right?
Mm-hmm.
So as a man, we've been taught in our life, like, I need to find a woman to save.
Run
from Hollywood. Like, that's part of it, right?
Meanwhile, these new age women is like,
don't need to be saved.
What you ain't gonna do is save me, baby.
You see what I'm saying?
Okay, yes.
And then and what if
save yourself.
What if you find a woman who not only doesn't need to be saved, but what if you need to be saved? And you find a woman who can bring more into your life to be of service to you, to help you, and you can serve her in ways.
Right.
So now you're trying to curate your relationship to based on what you've seen in Hollywood,
right.
but you fall in love with a woman who doesn't fit the damsel in distress.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you're a woman and you fall into a man who doesn't fit the tall, dark, and handsome,
right.
but now you're like, well, he's not what I expected,
right.
but I'm in love.
Mm.
So you know what these people try to do? They try to change their spouse.
Or they try to talk themselves out of it. How many times have we seen a person that is with somebody that treats them does everything for them, is there for them, is like all the things, but it's like homegirls glutton for punishment because she was with the homeboys in the past.
That is true.
Who were treating her like shit. So now it's like, oh my God, there's this one person that just adores me, but he does not necessarily fit the mold of what I thought
he's
wanted.
He's not the prototype.
So I'm going to talk myself out of this, what could be my forever person.
And we are all guilty of creating an idea of our forever person based on the things that we've watched on TV.
Yes.
I know our generation in particular, because we watched a lot of TV. There was no YouTube and Google back then. So we watched TV and said, I want my person to look like everything that I've seen.
Yeah, and before social media, there's reality television. Mm-hmm. Think about all the shows where they're showing these lifestyles that are supposed to be something glamorized, which mm-hmm. I think over time has shown to be more hot messes than anything.
Absolutely.
But there's that influence out there that I think people still compare their relationships to regularly.
Mm-hmm. And here's the last one. Go ahead.
The unavoidable negative influences. So we say unavoidable in quotes, right?
Yes.
Families, which yes. I don't necessarily think is unavoidable because we did have the episode when we talked about ridding ourselves of that. Mm-hmm. However, they are unavoidable to some degree, but you have to remember that within families, that ground rules are necessary.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, we talked about boundaries, right? And really talk to your husband or wife about being a united front. Family members have a way of being able to create sparks in marriages, not mm-hmm. the good kind, not the good kind, y'all. So tread lightly and look to see how the influences of your family is either positive or negative to your relationship, especially your dreams as a couple. So if you were, or if I were you, I would purge out the negative influences in your marriage and only seek the positives.
So you and I talked about this. There was a point where your mom was thinking that we weren't doing things the right way. Mm-hmm. My mom was thinking we weren't doing things the right way. My dad was thinking we weren't doing things yep. the right way. And we didn't purge them out of our lives because this had the unquote unavoidable because you can avoid them in some degree.
Right.
And we did avoid.
But you avoided my mom for 2 years.
I avoided your mom for 2 years. But you and I also avoided yes. going to my parents' home for times because we wanted to live a certain way.
No, exactly. Yeah. I remember the times we lived in Michigan and your dad, we would come back to New York. This used to grind DeVal's gears, y'all. At this point, DeVal was in the NFL and we were in Michigan living in Detroit together. Bought a home and everything. They came to visit us. I think it was for Thanksgiving or yep. some holiday. And his parents came and stayed with us and all mm-hmm. was well. Couple weeks or months after, we go back to New York now to stay in New York for a couple days or weeks or whatever. And DeVal's dad pretty much tells us that we are not allowed to sleep together in the same room in his home because we're not married yet. Right. DeVal blew a whole gasket. He was just like, excuse me? Right. First of all, you came to my house in Michigan
yep.
a couple weeks ago and stayed there comfortably because you wasn't about to pay for no hotel room.
Nope.
However, now that I'm in your house, and I was like, well, DeVal, it is his house. I guess it's his rule. But
so you know what we did? We didn't stay at his house.
We didn't stay in his house.
Nope. We didn't stay in his house.
He was concerned about the influence we would be to his sister and all kinds yes. of stuff. And
yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. DeVal's still not convinced.
I'm not convinced of that. One thing I know about my father is he's extremely frugal. So he was willing to, at that time, bypass his morals and his moral compass to stay at our house because he was not going to pay for a hotel for a week. And my sister was there.
Right, with us.
So my sister watched us live in our own house and sleep in the same bed every night. But then when we came to live in Brooklyn, it was like, oh, I don't think it's appropriate. If you really didn't think it was that appropriate, your ass would have stayed in a hotel when you was in Michigan.
Scoop, I love you and I always try to have your back, but I couldn't on this one, bro.
And the thing is, it's fine because it's your house.
Right. Absolutely. We're going to respect it.
But the point is, people have been telling us our entire relationship how we should do things.
Mm-hmm.
From parents to cousins to, well, our sisters and brothers will always have been supportive of us.
Yes.
But friends, social media, mm-hmm. like there's always been a group of people who've always been like, no, you should live this way.
Mm-hmm.
And we've ignored them.
Yeah.
And I think in part because we've ignored them is the reason why we've had success finding our niche mm-hmm. within our own marriage.
Mm-hmm.
Because realistically, no one can tell me how to treat Kadeen other than Kadeen.
Right.
No one can tell me what Kadeen wants and needs other than Kadeen.
Yep.
So why would I even ask someone?
Mm-hmm.
You understand what I'm saying?
No, I completely understand what you're saying. Allow me to play devil's advocate, though.
Okay.
Real quick.
Okay.
So we're talking about the unavoidable negative influences that are family.
Yes.
What do you do in the circumstance where you see a friend, a sibling, you know, a family member who may legitimately be in a toxic relationship or may be talking to someone who you can kind of foresee right. that this is a fuck boy or fuck girl and mm-hmm. you don't necessarily want them to be with that family member.
Right.
But the person may not be as receptive mm-hmm. to your advice, or they may think that you're just hating on the relationship, or you're speaking of a place of being jaded or tainted by your own experiences.
Absolutely, absolutely.
So, like, how do we decipher when it's okay to give that honest opinion?
So here's the truth, right? It's always okay to give that honest opinion.
Solicited or unsolicited.
Especially if you think it could be to someone's detriment, right? Mm-hmm. So if you think someone could be hurt, mm-hmm. it's always okay to say, this is what I see. Mm-hmm. But it's not okay to tell someone this is what you should do. Mm. You see what I'm saying?
So offering up the advice or the opinion, or as my family would say, my spirit don't really take that person there.
Right.
You know, we've always had yes. that. Or to be like, their energy. Something about the energy, I don't know, but just beware.
Right.
You know?
Right. And the thing is, it's fine.
Yeah.
But when it's not fine is when that person crosses the line and say, you need to do this to that person. Or you need to not do this with that person because.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? That person who's looking also has a very limited perspective because they're not existing within the relationship.
Yes.
So I'm not saying that what they see is not valid, mm-hmm. but what they see is from their perspective.
Mm-hmm.
They can give you their perspective and you have the right to either receive it or not receive it. Mm-hmm. But when someone starts telling you how you should behave within your relationship, that's completely wrong.
Right.
Because that person doesn't even have enough information to tell you how to move within your relationship.
Mm-hmm.
But they do have the right to always tell you what they see because you may have blinders on and may not be able to see what that person sees. But that's why it's okay to take someone's perspective, log it,
mm-hmm.
and say, let me think about this.
Right.
But then I still have to speak to my partner
mm-hmm.
about what I want, what I need, and find out what he or she wants and needs. Yes. You understand what I'm saying?
No, I completely get that. Because I feel like at least if you give an opinion and you're not necessarily making moves to then break this couple up or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
If it's just an opinion, that's okay. Because a story came to mind that I probably can't tell it because it'll just do too much. However, there's somebody that I know who mm-hmm. was in a relationship with someone, still to this day in the relationship, but said family member came along and was just like, I don't like that person for you.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think y'all should be together. And then they were like, well, I'm in love. This is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
This person going to be around. That's what it is. Said person went back and tried to literally like find ways to break them up.
Wow.
And then once those failed, and then once the couple found out about these said person trying to break them up.
Yeah.
She no longer wanted to have any relationship with this person.
Right.
And then it's a family member.
Right.
So how do we then go on to make things, you know, continue to be just normal?
Right.
You know, how can it be normal from here on out? It can't be.
It can never be normal.
It can never be normal. But it's just the fact that someone was actually going through like these drastic lengths to break up somebody.
But I mean,
relationship,
that,
you know?
But that happens
often. Meanwhile,
I
had no relationship of their own.
See, but that happens often because then it says, well, why was the person going to those extremes to do that? And mm-hmm. then you just mentioned it, right? Misery loves company.
That part.
And sometimes people are so blinded by their own misery that they're not able to see that someone else is legitimately happy.
Yeah.
You're like, that's a reality.
Yeah. And I think that's all that should matter. That's all that should matter.
I mean, it's easy to say that that's all that should matter, but people don't operate that way.
Yeah.
Like if we existed in a utopia where people just focused on what should really matter, we would have no issues.
That's true.
But that's not the case.
That is very true.
You know, and if we're being 100% honest.
Yes.
Because 99% of the world's wealth is controlled by 1% of the population.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of people in this world who are unhappy about their situation. Seriously.
Mm-hmm.
And when people are unhappy, it's hard for them to find happiness in other people's
right.
joy.
Right.
That's so it's just right. like, you know what? There's a lot of like cynical people out there in the world, which is another reason why you can't trust your relationship in the hands of other people.
Mm-hmm.
Like if we really, really think about it.
Mm-hmm.
If me and you are going to build a life together, the perfect life we want, what point does it make to ask other people or accept other people's advice or opinions about how you and I are going to build our life?
Right.
We're the only ones that have to live it.
That's a fact.
They can watch, but they really can't help.
Mm-hmm.
They can't. And when you start to use them as your barometer of our happiness, now you in a fucked up place
mm-hmm.
because you could be perfectly happy, but it's like, let me see if other people are happy for me.
Mm-hmm.
And then when they start to give their opinions about things and then that starts to weigh on you and their projections start to become your reality, other people's, oh, I got a bar. Other people's projections can never become your reality.
Mm-hmm. That's the bar.
I'm going to say it again.
Actual bar, yes.
I'm going to say it one more time.
Say it again. Say it again.
Other people's projections can never become your reality. And the minute you make their projections your reality, you're living in a fake space that you'll never be able to find happiness in because it's not real. It's just someone else's projection. Mm-hmm. Now you're trying to exist and make their projection your reality. You'll never live up to that standard.
Yep.
Ever.
It's curated content at that point, y'all.
Exactly.
How does curated content do? Doesn't engage well.
Curated content doesn't engage well. Mm. That's the truth, though.
It's the truth.
If you curate your life to fit other people's life, it will never work.
That's a fact. Your marriage is only as strong as the influence you keep. That's pretty dope.
It is.
Teelan Johnson said that. That's pretty dope. And what we do, we tend to, if we wanted to seek advice or seek some sort of, you know,
counsel
from someone, then you have the select people who you know you can do that with.
Yes.
We have couples who have been married longer than us together, mm-hmm. still, you know, have had, of course, their fair share of trials and tribulations, have raised children and all that. So you tend to, my advice too would be to seek the counsel from people who are living similarly to what you live or you aspire to be like. Because I'm not going to seek parenting advice from a person who has no kids.
Right.
You know, and vice versa when it comes to marriage and whatnot. But
It's also important to say that seeking counsel doesn't mean that you have to mimic their life.
No.
Because ultimately that's the issue, right? Mm-hmm. People try to mimic other people's happiness or they try to curate what they think is happiness. And if it's not real or if it doesn't work for you, then you'll never find it. Then you start to feel more depressed, right?
Yeah.
James and Shonda, they've been married longer than us.
That's exactly what came to mind. I know. I thought about it.
They've been married longer than us.
Yeah.
They have three boys.
Yeah.
But at the time we met them, we had three boys. You just gotten pregnant. So now we have four boys. Mm-hmm. But two of their boys are college graduates, Division I scholarship athletes, right? So we have children who aspire to be athletes. Mm-hmm. So when it comes to seeking advice or seeking counsel, I'm going to seek counsel from someone who lived that life already. But even when I speak to James, James never says, bro, you got to do it like this. Mm-hmm. He says to me, you have to find ways to communicate with your spouse or your sons so that you can get the result that you want. Mm-hmm. So when he was talking to me, I'm like, he's really not giving me any answers.
No.
He's not giving me a
cookie cutter blueprint.
He's almost
telling you, look within, bro.
That's it, literally.
Look within because you know your wife and your sons best and you know how to communicate with them.
I kid you not, Kadeem. The best advice I always get from people is always people who are telling me, find better ways to communicate so I can get the answers from the people who I'm trying to build a relationship with, whether it's my wife or my sons.
Yes.
And I'm starting to realize, like, none of these people who gave me these advice gave it to me and told me, do it like this. Mm-hmm. Because that's a controlling aspect too, right?
Of course.
When someone tells you to live this way, they want to control you. Mm-hmm. But when someone's telling you to find ways to communicate so you can find the answer within, that's someone who truly has your best interest at heart. You know who was good for that for me? Dolo. Mm-hmm. When I used to go in there and vent about the issues we had, Dolo never ever said to me, nah, bro, you got to move like this. He always pointed out the ways that I might have messed up in our communication process. For example, I say we were going over bills. And his first thing will be like, well, when you said it, DeVal, how did you say it?
Because he knows
Because he knows
you may
me.
Say things.
And he knows me. And he was just like, well, she's not a child. She's not a prototype mentee. Mm-hmm. She's not an employee.
Right.
So if you're speaking from a place of being authority, condescending or authority, she's not going to receive it well.
Sure don't.
You know what I'm saying?
I got one daddy.
So you got two now.
depends on the scenario or the venue.
Facts. But when we talk about finances, you ain't trying to hear none of that.
Nah.
But I was starting to understand. Mm-hmm. His advice was never like, well, you need to give her more bills. Mm-hmm. Or you know what I'm saying?
Thank you, Dola. I appreciate that.
I know you would appreciate
that. But no, trust me, vice versa goes the same for our friends that understand how you operate and I do as well.
Yeah.
Christina, who we had on this season.
Christina.
Very, very, very
always gave good advice.
Always gave good advice. So we appreciate having our little circle of friends or our big circle of friends.
Yeah.
They're little but big in our life. If that makes sense. All right, y'all. Let's go pay some bills. I think now's a good time, right? And then
Absolutely.
We can come back and we're going to see what's going on with y'all this week
Bet.
In the listener letters. All right. So stick around. We'll be back.
There's power in every purchase because every time we buy a Black-led brand, we make room for another Black-led brand. And y'all know I love my lip bar products. That's just one to name a few.
There is a whole collection of Black-led products that fit into your daily routine. Show Black founders some love, not just during Black History Month, but all year long.
That's right, y'all. Black founders and the products they bring to the table are creating a whole new world of choices at Walmart.
That's right. Go to walmart.com/blackandunlimited to discover all the amazing Black-owned products you can add to your daily routine.
All right, ladies, let's be real. Who here actually enjoys shaving their legs? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I thought so. And get this. Near, yes, Near, the OG that I used for years, has now leveled up. And they have these new sensational shower creams and body creams that smell amazing. My personal favorite, coconut oil and vitamin E because it's gentle on my skin. And down to the body cream, rich cocoa butter and vitamin E body cream, which is a modern take on indulgent and classic femininity. Okay? It works in as little as 3 minutes, no nicks, no cuts, and the smooth skin lasts days longer than shaving. Nair's new sensational shower and body creams are free of all those nasty chemicals, so you can feel good about what you're putting on your skin. Have a me time moment with Nair, the number one hair removal brand. Smell for yourself. Try the reformulated Nair body and shower creams available at retailers nationwide and online.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite in powerful conversations. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross.
Tiffany Cross.
I want you all to join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. In every episode, we gather a seasoned elder.
But even with a child, there's no such thing as the wrong thing if you love them.
Myself, as the middle generation.
I don't feel like I have to get married at this big age in life, but it is a desire I have and something that I've navigated in dating.
And a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations.
I'm very jealous of your generation that didn't have to deal with Instagram and Tinder.
This is Across Generations, where Black women's voices unite, and together, you know how we do, we create magic. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robey,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
Thank you for taking the light, and you're going to shine it all over the world, and it makes me really happy.
I never imagined that I would get the chance to carry this honor and help be a part of this legacy.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
All right, guys, we're back with listener letters.
Yes, sir. Ladies first today.
Okay.
All right. Gonna try my best to keep this short, and it's not. But thank you, though.
Proceeds to write novel.
We love it, though. Okay. I'm a single mother. I'm 28, soon to be 29, a Leo. I've been seeing this guy for about 2 years now. I've known him since high school. I've always had a thing for him since the day I saw him. Sounds like me, you babe. Once we started seeing each other, things were great in the first few weeks. Then soon after, everything changed. He started acting different. Would ghost me for days, even weeks at a time. Then come back like, hey, what you doing? That, wow. I've heard that people hate that what you doing text after not having a text for a long time. Okay, so maybe I'm just naive or just blinded, but during all this time, I fell in love.
Wow.
I'm going to explain how. We spend some time together, and it's very few people that I connect with on so many levels. So I'm really confused on how someone treats me like I mean nothing, but he means so much to me. When we're together, we have bomb conversation. We've been out together a few times. I used to love the late night car rides with music playing in the background. We would just park and talk. I made dinner for his man. He's great with my son.
I made dinner for this man.
Oh, I made dinner for this man, so him. I thought you were making, make sure he was making dinner for everybody. I made dinner for this man. He's great with my son and really a great person overall. He told me how he feels about me, but he sucks at showing it. I love the way he makes me feel when we're together. I feel like a woman. I feel loved, secure, the way he holds me, the way he looks at me. I feel I can be the best and worst with him. He motivates me. He makes me want to reach for every single goal that I've set for myself. Oh, this is getting really mushy. I love it. I have so many insecurities about myself, and he tells me that I'm beautiful and he sees nothing wrong. But at the same time, he makes me feel like I'm nothing and mean nothing. So he says he doesn't want a relationship right now. I told him I'd rather be your best friend and wait and just support him with his career. He's a rap artist and pretty well known in my city, Tulsa, Oklahoma. Very handsome guy, and I know it's all the kinds of women are after him. I really just want to know if something's worth working on or working towards. This is something to work towards. You squinting, baby. Why you squinting? It just sounds like he doesn't want to settle down, sis.
That's what it sounds like.
He just doesn't want to settle down, and he's making you feel all the things, and he may ghost you because there's a possibility that you might be making him feel all the things too, or he just may be saying to himself, she's starting to feel a little bit more for me than I feel for her, so let me ease up so that way I don't hurt her feelings. So I can appreciate that he's not being a douchebag about the situation, but he's also not being upfront.
Being upfront. He said he doesn't want a relationship, and she may be one of many.
Oh, he did say that, yes.
He said he don't want a relationship.
Right, he was upfront with that, yeah.
And he,
so it's she, not just the
right, he acts. May be a great guy. Yeah. He may honestly be a really great guy and very supportive and all this other stuff.
And but knows you're a great girl.
And knows you're a great girl, but if he doesn't want a relationship,
yes,
he may have other women that when he's not spending time with you, he's spending time with them. And I think he could be more forthcoming by saying, hey, we're not exclusive, so you know if there's someone else or not.
Mm.
But I honestly feel like if he's ghosting you for days and weeks at a time, there's definitely other women or other people.
Right.
So I feel like when people show you who they are the first time, you believe them.
That's a fact.
He's a great guy. He makes you feel all of the feels, but he doesn't fully give you everything that you want and need.
Mm-hmm.
Unless she's willing to commit to telling him everything he wants and needs and telling him, which is going to sound crazy, but ultimately giving him an ultimatum saying, hey, I want to exist in this space with you exclusively. I don't like being ghosted.
Mm-hmm.
If he says, okay, cool, let's do this, then you know where you stand. If he says, nah, I'm good, then you can go back to, like you said, being his best friend because you said you did like being friends.
Mm-hmm.
You can, guys can be friends and then keep it there.
Yeah.
But right now it seems like they're both being mature adults. I don't get the ghosting thing.
Mm-hmm.
I know that that's a... that's like a date thing that happens with millennials and Gen Zers now. Everyone talks about being ghosted.
Being ghosted, yeah.
But I never got it. I think it's a part to do with the fact that we don't communicate well as a generation.
Yeah.
You know, people that text, text, don't text, call, don't call.
Like, oh, I'm awful with text messages. Sorry, y'all. I already know. No love lost, but sometimes it be like that.
It do be like that.
Yep.
And she, I think she needs to be upfront about exactly what she wants.
Right.
Tell him you don't like being ghosted. Tell him you want to be exclusive and you want there to be some consistency in communication.
Mm-hmm.
See what he says. If he says, I'm with it, let's try it. Give him grace as he tries.
Mm-hmm.
Give yourself grace as you learn each other. But if he says that he doesn't want to do that, you got to be willing to say, hey.
Yep, I tried. That's your truth. But that's what you want.
Right.
Yep. Love that. Sounds good.
Number two. Hi, Kadeen and DeVal. My husband and I are big fans of your show. Thank you so much. Thank you for always being so real and transparent and letting your light shine. We appreciate you. I really enjoy listening to you both talk about being married and how you redefine what marriage looks like for you. You two are goals. We appreciate
Thank
that.
Thank you.
As my husband and I are vastly approaching 1 year of being married, I feel as if I haven't been able to fully enjoy this beautiful blessing because I feel guilty for slipping away from my family and friends. Family has always been extremely important to me. That was instilled in me as a young girl to never put anyone or anything before your blood. I feel guilty at times for my happiness and moving different now that I'm married, and I don't want this feeling to affect my marriage moving forward. My husband has been very supportive and patient with me as I deal with my emotions. I need your help. How did you overcome any feelings of leaving the families you know to create a family with each other? I look forward to seeing y'all live one day. We will definitely be live soon.
Yes.
At Nashville as a stop. Much love and blessings to you. I'm going to let you take this one because you and your brother and your sister are mad close.
Mad close.
Wow close.
Wow and close.
You became my wife.
Yes.
And there had to be not a separation but an understanding. So talk a little bit about how you went through that.
So the great thing about this, which I was waiting for to see if she would say in this, is that she said her husband was very supportive and patient with her as she dealt with these emotions. I think I can say the same for you in that you understand how important my family, particularly my brother and sister, are to me.
Yes.
So you've always made provisions to say, okay, you miss your brother. You want him to come live with us for a little bit. My brother lived with us in Michigan when he was in the middle of transferring schools for 4 months, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, we're here in this house. I pop up and be like, hey, Sakari's coming to town tomorrow. You never bat an eye because at this point, mm-hmm. Sakari is like your sister.
My sister, yeah.
She's literally like your baby sister. So having the support of a spouse that allows you to still love on your family as needed, I think is something that's paramount and is very, very important. But sis, it's you and your husband.
Talk about it.
It's you and your husband.
Talk about it.
When you get married, what is the saying goes? A man leaves and cleaves to his woman.
Yeah, I forgot how the saying
goes. My Bible quotes are not to par.
I know what the Bible says, though. When a man finds a wife, them two create a family, and that becomes your family.
That becomes your family. So that, in turn, is your family. And I don't think, according to this, that your family is necessarily making you feel a way about having your husband, because it seems like, according to this, because she hasn't mentioned it, that your family may be okay with it. And your family, I'm sure, understands that you are now someone's whole ass wife, and you guys are going to be building a relationship together, and then your own family, your own nuclear family, if you decide to have children. So,
but let me ask this question. For her to feel guilt, that guilt has to be coming from somewhere. Guilt doesn't just come out of nowhere. Right?
I mean, yes and no, because I think about, for example, mom guilt. My kids don't necessarily say to me, mommy, you're not doing X, Y, Z for me to feel mom guilt. Mm-mm. It could just be me feeling guilt in myself because of how I want to move.
But what happens, though, when you leave, the baby cries. Mm-hmm. That's how you get guilt.
Mm.
Mom guilt comes from a reaction to something happening that's traumatic to you that you don't like to see, right?
Sometimes.
People don't typically get guilty when everything is going well. People typically get guilty when something is not going as planned.
Yes and no. Maybe mom guilt is not the right analogy, because I can tend to feel, like, I know, for example, if I walk away from Dakota, he's going to be fine. He's going to be happy. He's going to smile on my way out. Mm-hmm. But I still may feel bad about going away for a weekend, for example, and mm-hmm. leaving him behind. Recently felt that when we went to New York. You mm-hmm. know what I mean?
But what caused that feeling?
It's just me wanting to be there and me feeling like I should have brought him along with us, just because it would mm-hmm. have made me feel better about the situation. Mm-hmm. It could be that. But you're right. If you're going to play devil's advocate, it could be a thing
where someone's making. From?
So is someone giving underhanded, like, oh, so we don't see you anymore, Miss Wife?
Yes.
Like
yes.
one of those Some things?
Because that happens a lot.
That does happen.
You know what I'm saying? Oh, no, I'm absolutely happy. You know, happy, but I miss my friend. I used to see my friend. Now uh-huh. you don't come out with us no more.
Or you show up at the door one day and it's like, oh, look who the wind blew in.
Yeah.
Haven't seen you since. Let me scroll the calendar back. Like one
that
of those
things
situations.
Like that happen a lot.
That can be possible too. And shame on them for making you feel that way, if mm-hmm. that's the case. But I think you should, if anything, like, you are getting the support you need from your husband, see how you can schedule in those dates with family. You know what I mean? If it means mm-hmm. that much to you. I don't know if it means you going to them more, them coming to you, you guys going out and doing things. I don't think family needs to be forfeited once you get married.
No.
Especially if it's something you loved and enjoyed before.
It doesn't need to be forfeited, but it needs to be an understanding that I'm going to consult with my life partner now.
Absolutely.
You know, before anything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's not checking in. It's not being submissive. It's not being a simp.
Mm-hmm.
It's understanding that if two people agree to be partners in life,
mm-hmm.
that person may need to be involved in the decisions I make. You know what I'm saying? And
absolutely.
What happens is other people aren't used to you making those provisions if you've become a spouse, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it typically starts when you become someone's boyfriend or girlfriend. Right.
That becomes the checking in. Let me check in and see if
right. and
I
people
can
aren't
or
used
if
to
I,
that.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like your friends, you know, oh, we're going to go here? All right, let me hit up so-and-so. And they're like, what are you hitting them up for?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you got to ask for permission?
Right.
Typically, those friends are not in relationships, so they don't understand what that means.
Right.
And, you know what I'm saying?
And it's not a permission thing. It's a common decency thing, especially if you, like, live with somebody. Like,
absolutely.
You know someone's going to be out late, and you're going to be locking the door or putting the alarm on. Let mm-hmm. me know that you're coming in this house late so I don't shoot your ass. Like, just little things like that. Or it's like, you, my black man husband that might be out with friends or castmates mm-hmm. or whoever at the end of the night, and I need to know that you're going to be coming home safe and sound. So if you're going to be making another stop, or you're going to be running late, or you're mm-hmm. on your way home, I want to know to look out for you. So it's a simple common decency thing. It's
absolutely
not a control thing. It's common decency.
But it is also a control thing when your friends want to have control over your life and say that, you know, that's a control thing. Oh, you got to ask him. Oh, just come. They're trying to control you to get you to make a decision without doing this.
Mm.
A lot of friends do that, and that creates guilt within people. Like, damn, I used to be able to just go on my own, but now, you know what I'm saying? Am I doing too much?
Right.
Am I moving too fast?
Right. Should I be consulting with?
Right. And that's, you know, sometimes friends and family can I don't want to say accidentally, but, you know, unknowingly create guilt in a person mm-hmm. by making those comments. Remember we talked about the backhanded compliments mm-hmm. people make when you start yeah. to ascend?
Yeah.
Oh, what's up, Hollywood? Mm-hmm. Oh, it must be nice to be you. You know what I'm saying? Oh, you wild lucky. Mm-hmm. Those same comments create, you know, guilt within people. Mm-hmm. We talked about survivor's remorse. Mm-hmm. This creates a sort of guilt within people who are now in relationships. Like, damn, am I moving differently? Am I forgetting about my family? No, you're not moving and forgetting. You're moving the way you're supposed to if you want to build a life and a partnership with someone.
That's a fact.
So
there you go. Good luck to you all.
Yes.
All right. If you want to be featured in our listener letter segment, go ahead and submit an email. It's like the lottery. You know, we might pick you, we might not, but send it anyway. No, just kidding. Send all the emails because we enjoy the love. We love reading everything.
Yes.
Email us at deadassadvice@gmail.com.
That's deadassadvice. Because Kadeen says I always forget the E, even though I think my C rolls in together because I don't forget the E. Because it would, because if I didn't say the E, it'd be deadass advic. And I can't have you go to deadass advic because we won't ever get them.
We'll never get
it's deadass advice.
It's gonna be like USPS. The mail ain't never gonna get here, y'all. Yes. Never gonna get here.
So that's deadassadvice@gmail.com.
What truth moments have we pulled from today's episode? We went over all the things. We talked about those negative hidden influences, sugar-coated goodness, the innocence comparison mm-hmm. game, the desensitizer, the unavoidable negative influences. Anything speak to you in that moment of truth time that we have here?
Yes, my moment of truth is very simple. Curating your relationship to other people's projections will create a false reality for you and your partner.
Mm.
Period.
I like that.
That's just it. You cannot curate your relationship to anyone else's projections or expectations.
Mm.
Because you will always fail at trying to meet someone else's expectations. The only mm-hmm. person you should curate this relationship with is the person you are in the relationship with.
Deadass. I love that. Deadass. I love that. I think for me that I definitely agree with what you said. I think I'm going to talk about, for my moment of truth, just the importance of creating boundaries mm-hmm. For yourself sometimes, for people around you,
mm-hmm.
not allowing people to have the comfort level that they feel sometimes to be able to project mm-hmm. on your relationship. Mm-hmm. It could be that friend who's been with you, you know, ride or die for years and you feel like knows you best. Be very deliberate about the boundaries that you set for people penetrating your psyche to say, you know what? They may have my best interest at heart, or they may just not be equipped to advise me in this moment.
Mm-hmm.
So I need to turn to my spouse or my significant other and really address them directly.
Mm-hmm.
My friend can be the sounding board. My friend can be that source of venting. You know, you just have to sometimes get it mm-hmm. out, but not relying solely on what they say as Bible for you.
Yeah. Oh, gotta add this. No one else has to understand your relationship for it to be perfect to you.
Mm.
That is important.
That's a good one.
The whole world could not understand your relationship. But if you and your partner are in bliss, fuck everybody else.
Look at the moment of truth having a whole drop down menu, y'all. It's like a drop down. Add that to it. It's not just one. It's not just two. We got a lot.
Seriously.
Okay.
Seriously.
All right now. I love it. All right, y'all. Well, that was a nice little chat that we had here.
Yes, ma'am.
I think y'all should follow us on social media. That's a good thing to do. I mean, even though we talked about social media and boundaries, we hope that you don't have to block us one day because we love to have y'all. So Deadass the Podcast is our podcast page where we post clips and video and all that good stuff that our team works super, super hard on. So shout out to our team, Josh, Matt, and Tribble. Love y'all.
Tribble!
And you can find me at Kadeen I Am.
And I am Deval. And if you're listening on Apple Podcasts, be sure to rate, review, and subscribe.
Deadass.
Deadass is a production of iHeartMedia Podcast Network and is produced by Denora Pena and Tribble. Follow the podcast on social media at Deadass the Podcast and never miss a thing.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It's a simple truth. No matter who you are, mental health challenges can affect you. And how you manage them can make all the difference.
That's why everyone should have access to mental health support that meets them where they are and helps them get through. BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule.
It's flexible, simple to use, and more affordable than in-person therapy. Connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you. Learn more at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.